Does God have a plan for a person's life? The Bible tells us that Barnabas and Paul were first called by God to do missionary work. And the Bible records it this way. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." And obviously God had a plan for their lives. When they started on the first missionary journey, they took with them a young man named John Mark. However, the trip had hardly begun, the persecution had hardly started, when the Bible tells us, "And John left them and returned to Jerusalem." In our scripture for this morning, we read that Paul and Barnabas are ready to begin their second missionary journey. Barnabas wants to take John Mark, but Paul isn't willing, since he has already deserted them once when the going got tough. Was it God's will for John Mark to go on the first missionary journey? Was it God's will for Barnabas to insist that he take John Mark on the second one? And when Paul and Barnabas argued and split up over the issue of John Mark, was that in God's will? Does God have a plan for your life? An organization called Campus Crusade puts out a little booklet called The Four Spiritual Laws. And the first law says this: God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God has a wonderful plan for your life? And if it is true, what is God's plan for your life? Now, there are obviously some people that we believe God has a plan for their lives. For example, Paul on the road to Damascus had the living Christ appear in a vision to him. And we know God had a plan in mind for Paul. When Jesus began to call his disciples, we can believe that as he called them and said, "Come follow me," he had a plan for their lives. I suspect many of you would think that God certainly has a plan for ministers, since he has called them into the ministry. But what about you? Has God called you? Let me ask you, young people who are in your teens or maybe still in college and not yet sure about your career, does God have a plan for you? Is God calling you to some specific career? And let me ask some of us who are older, maybe some nearing retirement, was what you did with your life God's plan for you? And what about those of you who are now retired? And I'm thinking particularly of some of those who are older and in retirement centers and whose faculties are failing. Is God finished with you? Does God no longer have any use for you? Are the remainder of your years any concern whatsoever to God? Well, those are hard questions, are they not? But let us suppose another question that may be even more difficult. Suppose at the point that you went to make a decision about your career, suppose it was God's will at that time for you to be an architect, but instead you became a salesman. Or suppose God's will for you was to be a missionary to Brazil, and in your heart you felt a call and you knew that's what God wanted you to do, but instead you became an engineer. In either of those cases where you derailed God's plan for your life, does that mean you're now sidetracked forever and out of God's will for the rest of your life? Or let's ask some questions other than career questions. When you got married, were you in the will of God? Did you marry the person God intended for you to have? Or were you somehow sidetracked? And if you got divorced, was that God's plan for your life? Or on the other hand, if you were out of God's will when you married someone, and as a consequence, it's creating havoc in your family's life and in its spiritual life, and you've refused to get a divorce in spite of the damage, Is that God's will for your life? I'm raising two questions right now. First, I'm asking if you are in God's will for your life. And second, I'm asking if you have gotten out of God's will, if God's will has been derailed in your life, can you ever get back on the right track with God again? And the first point I want to make this morning is this. I believe God has a plan for the life of every person in this sanctuary. For example, it's very obvious in our scripture this morning that God had a plan for the life of St. Paul. God had a plan for Barnabas. God had a plan for John Mark. God had a plan for Macedonia, because whenever Paul tried to turn aside from where God was sending him, the Bible says such things as having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit, or but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So when Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and beseeching him, come over to Macedonia and help us, he knew for sure he was in the will of God. If we had time, we could go back into the Old Testament and see how God had a plan. A plan for people like Abraham, a plan for people like Gideon, for people like Samuel. For example, God had a plan for a shepherd boy named David, and he said to the prophet Samuel, I have provided for myself a king, and that was the plan for David's life. So I believe God has a grand scheme of things, a majestic plan for the whole world, and that within that great plan, there is a plan for your life. I cannot believe that your life and mine is the result of chance or fate or fortune. No, as the psalmist wrote, upon thee was I cast from my birth, and since my mother bore me, thou hast been my God. Or as Isaiah puts it, the Lord called me from the womb, from the body of my mother, he named my name. The only reason any of us exist is because God willed us to be, and he has a plan for your life. The second point I want to make is this. What if I get out of the will of God? What if I do something that violates God's plan for my life? What if I derail God's plan and turn off onto a sidetrack that God doesn't want me to take? What then? Am I forever out of God's will? Is my life forever after doomed to displease God? Is there no longer a plan for my life? There are two answers to that. The first answer is this. If you persist in your rebellion and disobedience, you stay permanently derailed. Do you remember the story of Saul in the Old Testament? He was the first king the Jews ever had. And do you know why he was king? Because that was God's plan for his life. God wanted him to be king. God chose him. But something went wrong. Saul was rebellious and disobedient. For example, in chapter 13 of the book of Samuel, we are told how he intruded on the office of the priest and greatly displeased God. In chapter 15 of the same book, we're told how God ordered him to destroy and do away with certain evil rulers and all of their property, but Saul disobeyed. Over and over in times to come, Saul was to derail God's plan by rebellion and disobedience. And do you know what God finally said to Samuel in disgust? He said, I'm sorry that I have made Saul king. I'm sorry I made him king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. So Saul derailed God's plan for his life. He got sidetracked. And if you remember the story, he never got back on the main line of God's will. He eventually perished as he fell on his own sword. A man rejected of God, totally out of God's plan for his life. So in one sense of the word, if you get out of God's will for your life and persist in your rebellion and disobedience, you will have derailed God's purposes for you. You will have sidetracked your life from usefulness to the Lord. But the second thing I want to say in response to our question is this. If we repent, and if we turn from our rebellion and disobedience, God will put us back in His will. Saul's successor was David. You will remember how God sent Samuel to the home of a man named Jesse to anoint one of Jesse's sons as king. And when he got there, one of the sons that Samuel saw was a lad named Eliab. And he was tall and handsome, and Samuel said in his heart, I know this is the one. But God said to him, the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. And when the boy David was finally brought before Samuel, God said to him, Samuel, get up. Anoint him. For this is he. Yes, God had a plan for David's life. But the point I want to make is this. There were many times that David rebelled against God. There were many times when he displeased God and did things contrary to God's will. But there was a basic difference between Saul on the one hand and David on the other. You see, David would repent when he got out of God's will. In sorrow and shame, he would turn back to God and ask forgiveness. So first, God has a plan for your life. Second, you can derail God's plan and get out of His will for your life. Unless you repent and turn back to God, you are out of His will. But if you repent and in sorrow seek forgiveness, God will put you back in a plan for your life. But notice I said a plan. This brings me to the third thing I want to share with you. You see, once you derail God's plan for your life, once you sidetrack what God wants you to be and do, even though you repent, even though you ask forgiveness, God's will for your life will never be quite the same. Now that's sad, isn't it? See how it works. When David sinned against God and got out of God's will for his life, David repented in sackcloth and ashes, and God forgave David. He was a man after God's own heart. But God's will for David would never be quite the same again. For example, because David took another man's wife and had her husband killed, this is what God said to David. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from your house, because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. And that prophecy came true. A lot of sorrow would come to David. Even his son Absalom would turn against his own father in rebellion. And when the prophet Nathan heard about what David had done, do you remember what he said to David? He said, because by this deed you have utterly scorned the Lord, the baby that is born to you shall die. Oh, what heartache will come when we get ourselves out of the will of God. Yes, David was able to get back into God's will, but God's perfect will for David would never be the same again. It would never be again all that God had meant and wanted for it to be. Let me give you just one more illustration. The Bible tells us that David had it in his heart to build a house for God. There in Jerusalem, it was his intention to build a magnificent temple. But God wouldn't permit it because David's hands had blood on them. It was no longer in God's will for David to build the temple. And it was left for his son Solomon to do. Listen to me carefully. When you and I rebel against God, when we go against His perfect will for us, when we disobey His laws, we do indeed frustrate His will for our lives. Yet when we repent and turn back to Him, God is so good. God is so gracious. He takes us back and He restores us to new plans, new purposes, new directions for our lives. Sadly, we can never go back and be in His perfect will and be all the things that we had the potential to be. We can never again do all the things that we could have done. But God puts us in His adjusted, His modified, His still wonderful will for our lives. Look at John Mark in our scripture for this morning. What would his life have been like if he had not turned back and gotten out of God's will? What great things would he have done? What nations would have fallen for Christ had he not been out of God's will? What cities would he have conquered had he been in God's will? But John Mark repented. He asked forgiveness. And he wanted back in God's will for his life. And God used him. He wrote one of the Gospels. In latter years, he became a friend and a supporter of Paul again. So God used him. He did. But we will never know what great and noble and mighty things God had in mind for him. What incredible things he might have done had he stayed in the perfect will of God. Are you in the perfect will of God? I urge you, young people, earnestly to seek God's will for your lives. I urge you to give your best to the Master, to have God teach you His way. For most of us, I suspect, in so many ways, we, you and I, have gotten out of God's will for our lives. Many of us will never be able to do all the potentially wonderful things that God intended for us. And yet as we repent of our rebellion and disobedience, as we turn back to God, as we seek to be obedient, we need to cry out, "Oh God, put me back in your will. Let me do the things that you want me to do." You see, He never stops loving us. He never stops having a plan for our lives when we put ourselves at His disposal. Whoever you are this morning, wherever you are, in whatever stage of life, whatever life might be left to you, God has a plan for you. It may not be the perfect plan He had in the beginning, but if you repent and turn over to Him the life you have left, He wants to use you for His holy purposes. And just this last thought. Are you in God's will for your life this morning? And if not, don't you suspect you ought to be? Let us pray.